The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon! A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush, with Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon. Here's a Mutual note for you. Every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock over Mutual, it's time for the Children's Hour, with programs for all lovers of daring adventure and thrilling exploits. On Mondays, there's Bobby Benson, the famous cowboy kid, who gallops to rangeland excitement with his BRB riders. Wednesday and Friday, the fearless newspaper publisher Britt Reed dons the secret disguise of the Green Hornet and roars into action to bring evildoers to justice. And every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5:30, Wild Bill Hickok, the real-life marshal of the early West, outwits rustlers and renegades in stories of blazing action. Tuesdays and Thursdays bring Sergeant Preston of the Yukon at 5 o'clock for the stirring adventures of a Northwest Mountie as he faces incredible hardship and danger to get his man. And Sky King follows at 5:30. Tune to Mutual every weekday afternoon at 5 o'clock for programs that take you to a world of imagination, all over most of these stations. During his first winter patrol, Sergeant Preston stopped at John Benton's trading post in the Black Forest.
Hulking! Hurry, Husky! Hold on, hold!
The trader and his 15-year-old son, Bud, made him welcome.
Hello, Sergeant.
Hi, Sergeant.
Hello, Don.
And after the team had been unharnessed and turned into the run, the sergeant and King were escorted into the living quarters at the rear of the store, where Jim prepared supper.
You sit down and make yourself comfortable. I'll have everything on the table in 10 minutes. What's the news?
Well, I suppose the biggest news in this district is the strike on Big Beaver Creek.
Big Beaver? That isn't far from here. Less than 10 miles.
Is it much of a strike?
They're getting $25 and $30 to the pan. The whole creek's been staked, and the latecomers are prospecting the branches. You may be getting some business from the miners this winter. Most of them traveled light when they left Dawson. They'll be running short of food before long.
We have plenty of staples.
Say, it might be a good idea to load a couple of sleds, hitch them tandem, and drive down to Big Beaver.
I'm sure you can sell everything you can carry.
How about it, Paw?
Are you sure you can tear yourself away from Blaze long enough to make the trip?
He'll not forget me if I miss seeing him one day.
Who's Blaze?
A wolf.
He's a dog.
Oh. Well, dog or wolf, he's as wild as they come. He hunts the forest around here, and Bud's trying to make friends with him.
I will, too. He's nearly as big as King, Sergeant, and he has a white mark on his head. That's why I call him Blaze.
You'll never be able to tame him.
Well, he comes when I call.
He comes when he smells the piece of steak you're bringing him.
I was less than 20 feet away from him last time. Before long, he'll be eaten out of my hand.
That's dangerous business, isn't it, Sergeant, trying to feed a wild animal like that? More than likely, he'd take a piece of your hand along with a steak.
Not Blaze. He likes me. And he's all dog. He'd make a wonderful lead.
Now you're dreaming.
I just wish the sergeant could see him.
Is there any chance of that?
Well, there might be. I usually meet him in a clearing in the forest not far from here. We could take a walk there after supper.
Why not?
Sergeant, it's settled. Well, I sure hope he's around.
Northern lights streaked across the sky that night. The sergeant and Bud could hear a wolf or a dog howling as they started through the forest. King answered and romped ahead of the policeman and the boy. When they reached the clearing, they saw him nose to nose with Blaze. King barked an invitation to play, but Blaze stood motionless. Then slowly his tail began to move back and forth.
You were right, Bud. At least he's more dog than wolf.
Don't you think he'd make a fine lead?
He's been a fine lead.
What?
I know him. At one time he belonged to a man called Scar Martin.
Oh. What happened? Did he run away?
Yes, nearly 2 years ago.
Then if I were able to make friends with him and tame him down enough to take him home, I wouldn't be able to keep him, would I?
Well, I didn't say that.
But if he belongs to someone else...
Scar Martin's in prison, and he'll stay there for the next 20 years. He's in no position to claim Blaze. They didn't deserve him in the first place. The dog was a fine worker, and Scar mistreated him. No wonder he ran away.
Blaze was beaten?
Badly. You still see the marks on his head and shoulders. Scar must have used a chain.
Someone should have used a chain on him.
By now, King and Blaze were frisking back and forth on the far side of the clearing.
I'll call King, and you try to call Blaze. Here, King. Good dog. Now.
Here, Blaze. Here, boy. Look what I have for you. Steak. Come on, boy.
Blaze advanced a few steps, then stopped.
Come on, boy. No one will hurt you. King's your friend, and we want to be friends, too. Come on, Blaze.
Blaze took a few more steps, but he was still 30 feet away.
He's come closer before.
Well, that's when you were alone.
Come on, Blaze. Please?
Blaze sank to the ground.
Try walking toward him.
All right.
Bud moved slowly, holding out the piece of steak.
Here, Blaze. Here.
One step, two steps, three steps. But that was as far as Bud got. Blaze raised his nose to the sky, howled, and then leaped to his feet and raced away into the forest.
Too bad, Bud.
I'll leave the meat here for him. He'll not be coming back again, King.
Well, I wouldn't be discouraged, Bud. Seems to me you've done wonders in gaining his confidence. Just consider the fact that he's lived like a wolf for 2 years, that his only experience with men was terrifying. He's still afraid of men, but you're conquering that fear little by little.
Will I ever be able to conquer it enough?
Well, I think so. He has a dog's capacity for affection. Wouldn't surprise me if he's already chosen you as his master.
Honest?
Notice the way King's looking?
To the right. I don't see anything through the trees.
No, but I have an idea Blaze is following you back to the post. And that it's only fear that makes him keep out of sight. The day will come when he follows you openly.
I hope so, Sergeant. He's a wonderful dog.
Sergeant Preston told the truth when he said that Scar Martin was in prison. But far away in Fort Roberts, on the very night the sergeant spent at the Bentons, Scar Martin broke out of jail. One of his ex-Confederates, Jake Sawyer, forced the rear door lock of the guardhouse, knocked out the jailer, and used his keys to open Scar's cell. The two men escaped into the woods under cover of a blizzard and found temporary refuge in a deserted cabin, where Jake had cached a few supplies and some snowshoes.
I was hoping you'd have a dog team waiting here.
I told you I didn't have any money.
Snowshoes.
That's the best way to travel the way we're going. Through the hills.
The hills? What's the matter with the Yukon Trail?
Times have changed since you went to jail. There's too much traffic on the Yukon.
At this time of year?
Yeah. What about Dawson, the Northwest Mounted Post there? I got a route all picked out. To the hills to the Black Forest. We pick up Big Beaver Creek beyond the forest and follow that to the top of Windy Ridge. On the far side of the ridge, we head west for Bird Line Pass.
Wilderness all the way.
That's right.
I was hoping we could get some money by holding up a traveler or a roadhouse. If we followed the Yukon...
You'd meet 10 men who recognized you every hour. I have a 6-gun and there's a rifle for you. But it wasn't part of our bargain to shoot our way out of the country.
All right.
Well, there's no murder charge against you. But if you want to stick your neck in a noose...
I said all right, didn't I?
Well, we better get started then. Packs are all ready to strap on.
Take us a week to get to the Black Forest.
It's better to take it slow and play safe.
Yeah. But somehow we gotta find some gold.
It took Scar and Jake the full week they had anticipated to reach the Black Forest. They made their way straight through it toward Big Beaver Creek, and as a result, missed John Benton's trading post. They reached the edge of the forest at noon and stopped dead in their tracks when they saw the miners' cabins lining the banks of the creek.
Hey, what's going on here?
It looks like a gold strike. Who'd ever have thought it on Big Beaver?
Gold, huh?
That's okay. We can cut to the west here and cross Windy Ridge closer to the pass.
We could use some gold.
You're crazy. Stop here and prospect from the laws on our trail?
Who said anything about prospecting? Must have been a pretty big strike to bring all these miners. Wonder how much they're panning out.
It couldn't be much. Probably just throwing out the ground digging gravel. Wait till spring to wash it out.
They'll be washing out a few pans every now and then. They have gold and we don't have any. What are we going to do after we cross the border if we're broke?
There'll be no law to worry about.
Oh, sure. And no gold either.
All right, go ahead and tell me what's on your mind. I don't think I'll like it, but go ahead and tell me.
Now, look. We robbed just one of those cabins.
In broad daylight?
We can wait here till it's dark.
Those cabins are less than 200 feet apart. If you had to shoot, it'd rouse the whole camp.
You go on down there and find out what's going on. Talk to some of the men. Find out who has enough gold to make it worth our while.
Why should I go?
Because you're not as well known as I am. The only thing the law wants you for is helping me break out of jail. No one here could have heard about a jailbreak in Fort Roberts.
No.
Now go on.
Will you promise me one thing?
No. What?
No gunplay. We should be able to get into one of the cabins easy enough. Travelers looking for a night's lodging.
You just find the right cab and leave the rest to me. We need more supplies, too. And dogs and a sled. Now get going.
Right.
Jake stopped at the first cabin he came to.
Come on in. Howdy, stranger.
Hi.
I'm Harry Walton.
John. John Smithers.
Sit down by the fire and get warm. It's bitter out today.
Yeah.
You're new here, huh?
That's right. Just got in from Dawson.
Well, you won't find any ground open to stake on the main creek. My advice is to try the one about half a mile from here.
Have you found much gold?
Enough to keep me here. It's hard to tell just how rich these claims will turn out. You see, we didn't get here, any of us, until just before the freeze-up. And without running water, you can't wash out much gravel.
Well, you could wash out a pan every now and then.
I've done that. Hey, you're traveling mighty light.
Yeah, I've cached my supplies up in the woods.
Oh.
Thought I'd leave them there until I had a look around.
Well, I hope you brought enough. Most of us didn't. I wonder if you could spare any.
No, I don't think so.
I'm all out of bacon. I haven't eaten any for a month. And I'm sick and tired of beans without any meat to go along with them. Beans and hardtack, day after day. It's been terrible. I'd give plenty for a side of bacon.
What do you call plenty?
$50?
No.
$100.
Say, you sure must be hard up for the taste of bacon.
Everybody around here feels the same way. You sure you can't spare some?
I'll have to talk it over with my partner. See, the supplies are really his.
Oh. Say, why don't you two bunk here until you get settled?
Oh, that's nice of you. But perhaps I'd better take a walk up the creek first. Maybe we should stake a claim right away.
Well, you're welcome any time. Especially if you bring home the bacon.
While Jake was gone, Scar built a windbreak and lit a campfire to protect himself from the bitter cold. It began to snow, and the short winter day was fading into the long winter night before Jake returned.
Well, it's about time.
I got talking.
Well, I froze to death.
You want me to find out everything, didn't you?
Well?
No one's washed out much gold yet.
Well, who's got the most?
A few hundred dollars is all anyone would admit to. We'll not find many supplies here.
No? Why not?
They're all short. Travel light to get here. It's a starvation camp. One of the miners offered me $100 for a side of bacon.
Hey, we'll stop at his cabin.
I only wish we had some bacon to sell. $100 for a slab.
What?
Hello. Somebody's coming through the forest.
Hey, it's a boy.
Yeah, it's a tandem sled he's driving. Loaded with supplies.
Yeah.
Come on, march, boys.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Sometimes youngsters are not very careful when they cross the street. Maybe you're kind of careless yourself. The National Safety Council tells us that this is because most people are inclined to believe that accidents cannot happen to them. They always happen to the other fellow. Well, that's not true, of course. An accident can happen to anyone, especially if he doesn't bother to learn the safety rules and go by them. 9,000 Americans were killed last year by cars. And the Safety Council says that more than half of them were either violating a traffic law or committing an unsafe act. Take crossing streets in the middle of the block. That's by far the most dangerous thing you can do. Motorists watch more closely for pedestrians at intersections. So why take silly chances? Just walk right on down to the corner. Stop, look both ways, and then cross when you're absolutely sure that there are no cars coming. That's the best way to keep from having an accident. Just be careful. The life you save may be your own. Now to continue. Bud Benton stopped his team when he saw the two men camped at the edge of the forest.
Whoa, howdy, Husky. Howdy, whoa. Howdy.
Hello, youngster. Sit down, have a mug of tea.
Don't mind if I do. Are you prospectors?
You might call us that. We just arrived.
I should have guessed that from your packs.
Well, here's your tea.
Thanks. Good. You're not going to spend the night here, are you?
Where else would we spend it?
Well, there are plenty of cabins along the creek. You'd find someone to put you up.
Hey, who are you, son?
My name's Bud Benton. My pa and I run the trading post on the other side of the forest.
You're carrying a lot of supplies.
Yeah, we heard the miners were short, so I loaded up and drove over. Plenty of flour and bacon powder and beans and bacon on those sleds.
Uh-huh, I can see.
Bacon.
I figured I'd stay the night, sell what I have, and then take orders for anything the miners might need. Oh, I'll bet they don't realize they have a store as close as we are.
I bet they don't.
Maybe you need some supplies.
Yeah, maybe we do.
Now listen, Martin.
Shut up. What's the matter with you, son?
Nothing.
What are you staring at? Something wrong with my face?
Nothing.
Have you ever seen a scar before?
I was just wondering how you got it.
Show him your gun, Jake.
Yeah.
What's the idea?
Jake shouldn't have used my name. You seem to have heard a scar, Martin.
No, sir.
Don't lie.
Martin's a common name. I've probably met some of that name before. I never met you. I'm sure of that.
The name's enough.
We can't let him go on to the creek.
I had no intention of letting him go to the creek.
What are you going
to
do with
it? I haven't decided yet.
I have no money, but you can take the supplies if you want.
Well, thanks a lot. Now stand up, bud.
Sure. Sure thing.
Now turn around and start walking toward that gully.
Look out, he's making a break for it.
You won't get far.
Come here, you... Have you killed him?
Let's see. Yeah, it looks like it. He would throw him down in the gully. The snow will cover him up.
Yeah, but it's murder.
What if it is? Nobody will find him.
Blaze, who had been following Bud through the forest, saw the blow that knocked the boy down. He recognized Scar, but seeing the boy helpless melted the fear that clutched his heart. A great wave of love swept through him. Bud was his master, and if necessary, Blaze must give his life to protect him. He launched himself at Scar's throat. Scar was too quick for him. He warded off the dog's rush with his rifle and then brought the butt down over Blaze's head, and the dog dropped to the snow.
I thought it was a wolf. It's a dog.
Hey, looks like my old lead dog. We'll throw them both down in the gully. Oh, come on, give me a hand.
It was about an hour later that Sergeant Preston drove up to the trading post on the far side of the forest. John Benton met him at the front door.
Looking, hi, Husky. Hello,
hello. Hello, Sergeant. You made your tour of the Indian villages quicker than you thought you would.
Yes, John. I'm happy to report there's no sickness and the Indians are trapping a lot of furs. You may need more trading goods before the winter's over.
Perhaps you can take an order to the Yukon Trading Company for me.
Be glad to.
But you're spending the night, aren't you?
Oh, yes, indeed.
I'll give you a hand with the team.
Thanks. Where's Bud?
He took your advice. Drove to Big Beaver with a load of supplies this morning.
Oh?
I don't expect him back until tomorrow night. Easy, King. You've heard a wolf before.
That's no wolf. It's Bud's lead dog. See where I'm pointing?
Bud's lead dog? Why, that's impossible.
I'm talking about Blaze.
Sergeant, he's gone berserk. He's coming straight at us.
Once more, Blaze's fear of men was overcome by his concern for Bud. And he ran straight up to the sergeant, took his pocket in his teeth, and tugged at it. Then he ran away a few steps. Every movement of his body an invitation, a plea for the sergeant to follow him.
He's asking you to follow.
Yes. John, this dog loves your boy. I'm afraid something's happened to him. Hurry up, get your parka.
I'll only be a second.
I'll have the team harnessed again by the time you get back. Yes, King, you understand something's wrong too, don't you, Philip?
All right, Blaze, we'll follow you.
I'll
set, Sergeant.
Climb aboard.
Right.
Up front, King. All right, on King! On your
When Bud recovered consciousness, it was his instinct that made him start climbing up the steep side of the gully. He slipped back several times, but he kept at it and finally reached the top. For a moment, his mind cleared. He saw the windbreak and the still glowing embers of the campfire. His team, the sleds, and the men were gone. He started crawling toward the windbreak. When he reached its shelter, weakness overcame him once more, and he collapsed face down. It was only the protection of the break and the faint heat from the fire that saved his life.
Okay, hurry, Husky! Hold up!
He was still breathing when Blaze nuzzled him and the sergeant and John ran to his side.
Bud.
He's alive.
Shall I build a fire?
No, we'll get him on the sled, wrap him in blankets, and take him to one of the miners' cabins. All right, on King! On you, Husky!
Half an hour later, Bud found himself lying on a cot in Harry Walton's cabin.
Feeling better, Bud?
Sergeant Preston.
Bud.
Hello, Pa.
What happened, son?
One of the men hit me.
What men?
It was Scar Martin.
Scar Martin? Are you sure?
The other man called him by name. Martin, he said. I saw the scar in his face, and I remember what you told me. The man who beaten Blaze.
They stole your sled and the supplies you brought over here to sell.
Sergeant.
What is it, Harry?
I bought some of his supplies. They must have been his.
Huh?
A man drove past here, I don't know how long ago. It couldn't be much more than an hour. He had flour and beans and bacon to sell. Everyone bought from him. Paid him 10 and 20 times what the stuff was worth. He sold out in no time.
Which way to go?
North, toward the head of the creek.
There was only one man, Harry?
And that's all, and he didn't have any scar on his face.
Was his beard red?
Yes.
That was the other one.
A red beard. That could be Jake Sawyer. He used to hang around with Scar. And Scar wouldn't show himself around here where there's so many people. He could have been waiting for Jake at the head of the creek.
Scar must have broken out of jail.
And now he and Jake must be heading for Borderline Pass, trying to get out of the territory.
Any chance of catching them?
It stopped snowing. There should be sled tracks to follow when you get over the ridge.
They must head for the pass. They want to cross the border.
Sergeant.
Yes, buddy?
How'd you find me?
Blaze brought us to you.
Blaze? Where is he now?
We couldn't persuade him to come in here with us.
He's gone again. After saving my life.
He may be somewhere around. I'll see you all later.
With King in the lead, the sergeant's team raced up Big Beaver Creek.
On King! On you, Husky!
On the far side of Windy Ridge, the sergeant found sled tracks. And with the advantage of a broken trail, he urged the team to their greatest speed.
On King! Faster, boy!
King added his encouragement. The miles slipped by. Toward midnight, however, as they neared the pass, the wind rose to a gale. And the whirling snow blotted out the sled tracks. But King didn't need to see the trail to follow it now. The great rocks that marked the opening of the pass loomed ahead through the driven snow.
They've made it through the pass. We've lost, King.
King knew there were dogs behind the rocks at the pass opening. And he turned back to his master and barked a warning. There were men, too. But somehow the sergeant didn't seem to understand.
On, King!
For once, King didn't obey a command. He slowed to a walk.
Oh, you husky. Oh, no.
Something wrong with those rocks, boy? They'd make a fine ambush, wouldn't they? The Scar and Jake are waiting there. They can't see us from this distance, with the snow blowing the way it is. We'll circle those rocks and climb them from the rear. Come on, boy.
Scar and Jake were waiting behind the rocks, straining their eyes toward the point where the trail entered the pass.
Oh, we should have gone on. No sense in waiting here.
Tell you, we're being followed.
We'd hear dogs if there were.
I did hear.
Well, no one's going to stop us now.
Anyone coming through the pass in weather like this must be after us.
If there is, I'll shoot to kill.
Suddenly, the winds dropped, and the air was clear of flying snow for a moment.
Up with your hands. You're under arrest.
Scar, over to the left, on top of the rock. Shoot.
Under arrest? I must be Imani.
Shoot. You missed him. I'll try it.
Put down that rifle or you'll get the same thing, Scar.
Hey, it's jammed.
You hurt me?
All right, don't shoot.
Where did I hit you, Jake?
My arm.
Where's your gun?
I dropped it.
I have it. And the rifle. Since you two decided to shoot it out, the charge is attempted murder as well as robbery and breaking jail.
Hey, now listen. We have a lot of coal on our sled. They'll give you half if you let us get across the border.
Attempted bribery, another charge. And to think you might have been through the pass and across the border if you hadn't stopped to ambush me.
What? The border's just beyond the pass?
Less than 100 yards from here.
I haven't got a gun. You won't use yours.
Guard Jake King. I'll get him.
The sergeant caught Scar before he'd covered 50 yards. He was just about to grab him by the shoulder when Scar turned.
Why, you...
He lashed out with a right and caught the sergeant on the jaw.
Thanks, Scar. Oh, you're resisting arrest. That gives me a chance to even the score for what you did to Bud and for the way you used to beat Blaine.
Well, somehow you look better that way. Now all we have to do is bandage your partner's arm and take you both back to Big Beaver.
The pale winter sun was rising when Sergeant Preston reached the creek with his prisoners. The miners cheered him, and he found John Benton waiting in front of Harry's cabin.
Okay.
Congratulations, Sergeant.
Here's the gold dust Scar and Jake received for your supplies, John.
Thank you, Sergeant.
How's Bud?
Oh, still a little weak.
Inside?
Yes.
Any sign of Blaze?
You take a look inside.
Oh? What's the prisoner?
Right.
Bud was still lying on the cot. Blaze was lying on the floor beside him.
You caught him, Sergeant. It's wonderful.
You're happier about Blaze being here, though, aren't you?
Maybe so.
How'd it happen?
Just as it was getting light, he scratched on the door and Paul let him in, and he came straight over here, and he hasn't moved since.
He finally made up his mind.
Good dog, Blaze.
A fine dog. And since Scar and Jake are on their way to jail, you found a new lead, and Blaze has found a home, I'd say this case was closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. Here's a Mutual note for you. America chooses Mutual as its Sunday suit. Yes, more people listen to the Mutual Sunday shows because they suit the entire family. Pop, Mom, and the kids all cast their vote for True Detective Mysteries, which are based on actual police records. Week in and week out, True Detective Mysteries sing the praises of the brilliant police work, of gallant police detectives and their modern scientific methods that make your town a safer place in which to live. Other Mutual shows that suit America on Sunday include The Gabby Hayes Show, where the famous Western character actor narrates tales of Western heroes, and Nick Carter, who is rated tops by millions of mystery fans. The all-knowing, all-seeing, yet invisible Shadow proves beyond the shadow of a doubt that crime does not pay in tales of suspense and intrigue. So this Sunday, and every Sunday, do as most Americans do. Hear Mutual's famed Sunday Suit Entertainment over most of these stations. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
A murder has been reported, Sergeant. A renegade called Lou Wilson shot and killed one of Wamago's young braves.
Lou Wilson? I know him, sir.
Find him, Sergeant. Find him as fast as you can. Unless he's brought to justice quickly, we may be faced with an open rebellion.
I'll get started at once, sir.
The old chief Wamago was unable to control the hotheads in his tribe, and the flames of rebellion were sweeping through the Black Forest. The lives of hundreds, innocent and defenseless, depended on the sergeant bringing one criminal to justice. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye and good luck until Thursday. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.